Chapter 27. Planet Zast. 9 days into Operation Ringbreaker.
For the past 2 weeks, Vara hadn't felt much like SP-475 at all. The explosion on the rebel terrorist vessel had left her with a jagged scar across her forehead and a right ear that went deaf at intervals. For the first few days after the incident, she'd suffered from headaches that left her pressing her forehead against cold metal floor panels at night and praying for unconsciousness. The medical droids assured her it was nothing unexpected and soon approved a return to light duty. Surveillance reviews, munitions maintenance, and the like. No one had visited her or wished her well. Her uncle might have done so under other circumstances, but he was still in holding, awaiting trial or release. On her first day back, as she cross-checked automated supply records with her own hand-counted inventory of blaster power packs, 113 joined her in the brightly lit armory. He'd led the team on the day of the explosion, interrogated the rebel agent himself. Somehow he'd survived too, even as close as he'd been to the detonation. Maybe, Thara thought, he really was one of the original clones. The commandos had been built to last. Other members of the team hadn't been so fortunate. She was glad she couldn't remember the sight of body parts blasted and strewn through the ship, but she could still imagine. "You're one of the new ones," 113 said. More a statement than a question. "Accelerated training to bulk out the core. Been young by your first assignment."
"Yes, sir," Vara said.
She was dressed in a variant of a cadet's uniform, in an open-faced helmet that left her every expression exposed. She felt blind without the glow of her old uniform's display. "Huh." SP-113 stared at her through his own helmet. Vara wondered if he was reviewing her record. "You survived. Give you credit for that. But you need to do better." "Better than leaving my comrades to die?" she wondered. It seemed a low threshold to clear.
"Yes, sir," Vara said.
"However long the med droid said to stay off patrol, cut it in half. We're short-handed. And the bosses want Nia Nunba and the rest of the cell found before they cause more trouble." The alien aboard the rebel ship had claimed the cell lacked supporters in Pinyumba, that the local civilians were too scared to help. No one believed it. Not Vara and her comrades, and certainly not her commanders. Still, Vara opened her mouth to protest.
"Sir,"
she asked. She shouldn't have been speaking, but she fumbled for the words anyway.
I thought..."
"You thought what?"
"Hoth, sir. I thought the rebels would be less dangerous. Less active. Less something."
The garrison stormtroopers didn't gossip much, certainly not while on duty, when chatter was forbidden, and official policy discouraged bonding during off hours. Troopers who grew attached to their comrades became inflexible, slow to adapt to new postings with new squads. Still, talk got around during meals or in the locker room, and Vara had heard about an attack on a prime rebel base in the Anoat sector. The enemy had been routed, the base obliterated. Darth Vader himself had led the troops to victory. The elite of the elite marching through fire and ice against 1,000 rebel traps. 113 made a short, scornful sound like a laugh as he turned away. "We're a long way from Hoth, and there are always more rebels." 1 week after her conversation with 113, Vara's full status was restored. She donned each piece of her uniform with care and diligence, reminding herself of her name and her mission and her duty to Sallust and the Empire. But the faint scratches on her armor and the dead silence in her right ear distracted her, and she fumbled as she locked her helmet into place. Nearly 30 stormtroopers stood at attention as the transport touched down onto the hangar floor. Another 30 were stationed out of sight or in the adjoining tunnels, ready for any surprise attack by the rebel cell.
Still more teams were searching housing blocks in Pinyamba and locking down the Inusotor processing facility. Someone in charge had decided that the transport safe arrival was worth shutting down city business. SP-475 stood behind a maintenance crew, staring toward the tunnel through which the transport had descended from the surface. She imagined rebels deployed between dim rays of sunlight, prepping explosives in the shadows. The transport hissed, and her attention turned to the boarding ramp. Pinyamba officials rushed forward, meeting the first wave of arrivals and occluding her view. Half a dozen white armored figures surrounded the group and escorted them down a tunnel. Chatter played in her helmet, team leaders reporting that nothing was amiss.
"Who are these guys?"
one of the maintenance workers asked. Now a second wave of arrivals marched down the boarding ramp. Black-clad officers, helmeted security personnel, and more stormtroopers. First 10, then 20, then more than SP-475 could count.
"Labor oversight," another worker replied. "Some rebels hit a supply depot on Mardona the other day. Need to make up production somewhere."
SP-475 hadn't heard that. She bristled at the idea that Pinyamba needed more troops, more overseers to do its part, but she forced the instinct down. 113 had told her that they were shorthanded, and they still hadn't found Nianunba. Maybe reinforcements weren't such a bad thing. Then she heard a high-pitched whine in her helmet. Her comrades began shouting. The overlapping, static-distorted voices were impossible to decipher. In a second, a commanding officer would override the others and make her orders clear. She wanted to freeze. She wanted to run. The last time she'd seen her fellow troops fall into chaos, men and women had died. Her chest ached. She wasn't breathing. In the periphery of her vision, she saw another trooper gesture behind her and up the cavern wall. Her rifle was in her hands as she turned. She stumbled half a step back and bumped into one of the maintenance crew. The helmet directed her attention to a mechanical sphere no larger than her fist, floating a dozen meters above the cavern floor and weaving toward the tunnel to the surface. She didn't question what it was. She brought up her rifle and squeezed the trigger 3 times. Her visor polarized against the red glare. 2 shots chipped the stone. The last clipped the sphere, sending it spiraling onto the ground and leaving a trail of sparks. Nothing exploded. No one died. It was a long time before she heard the comm chatter again, or noticed the 2 troopers kneeling over the fallen sphere.
"Spy cam,"
came a crisper voice.
"Knew the rebels couldn't stay away."
It was 113.
"Nice shot, 475.
SP-475 wanted to tear her helmet off and vomit. But she'd done her duty. She'd overcome her hesitation. Her shift was just beginning, and if the rebels were at work, she had to be ready. She had to push through.